everybody. Welcome back to the Chelsea Echo. The international break is over. Me and Dan are no longer allowed to just have lives because Chelsea are back and here to ruin everything that we do. Dan, is that also how you feel about Chelsea?
Call me maybe, call me Danny. I'm about to ruin Chelsea for everyone.
The reason Dan's mentioned Kylie Rae Jepsen is I've just introduced him to DJ Bovrilgate, who is hopefully going to be a resident.
My life has just improved by about 50%. And it was going quite well up till then.
So for anyone that doesn't know, we'll leave a link if you're listening, obviously, wherever you watch, if you're watching this on YouTube. DJ Bovrilgate is a friend of the pod, and we were discussing with him last year about maybe writing us a little theme tune, you know, write the theme tune, sing the theme tune, all that sort of stuff. And I think we're going to reinitiate those talks because, my God, life is better when you have a donk on it. And right now, Chelsea needs to have a donk on the style of football that they play. A little bit of donkage makes everything better. And unfortunately, with Enzo Maresca, you get no donkage. You only get... What's a really bad brand of music? Because like, people say like classical music is boring or jazz is boring. I quite enjoy both of those, to be honest. Like, it's like, what it is? It's like 70s glam rock. It's pretty, like, I think it's exciting, think it's amazing. But if you look at the range of music that's been released since and was released beforehand as well, 70s just wasn't great for music a lot of the time in some places, in my opinion, anyway. But it's a situation which, can only be rectified with some donkage. So we're going to be talking to him about that. However, Dan, we aren't here to talk about DJ Bovrilgate as much as we'd like to. We are here to talk about Chelsea versus Tottenham Hotspur Thursday night, 8 o'clock kickoff at Stamford Bridge. Two sets of clubs which are going through their own struggles. Two sets of fans who despise their ownership. Two sets of styles of football where everyone who seems to go to the games is getting completely distraught. We're going to be hearing from Ricky Sachs from The Last Word, I suppose, later on in the show as well. But, Dan, how do you feel about this game? Because I think if me and you had had a conversation maybe end of February about this, there'd be some semblance of positivity from my end anyway. Now, I go into this game, despite the fact that Chelsea have won or not lost every game apart from one in 30 odd years, which was in the 2018-19 season, I don't look at this game with much joy or much hope that Chelsea are actually going to get the job done at all.
It's a risky one. There's no two ways about it. It is a one fraught with a lot of danger, I think, for Enzo Maresca, but also, you know, opportunity. You know, in some ways, of course, this will be reflected by how the game on Thursday night plays out. But in some ways, it could be a great opponent for Enzo Maresca's Chelsea at this current point, given Spurs' endless problems, their tactical approach being very different to the teams that have rocked up to Stamford Bridge in recent weeks, and their sense of, you know, continuing self-implosion that has led to a pretty dismal season. But there is also that side of it that goes, it's a game that Maresca just cannot afford not to win. You know, even a draw is just not going to be acceptable because this is not... I was thinking back to, you know, you look over that record, right? Like, of course, quite recently, actually, we have failed to beat Spurs at home, and that was obviously Tuchel, one of Tuchel's final games. But that game was more overshadowed by Anthony Taylor than Chelsea being horrendous, and it was a better Spurs team, or at least it was one that had like Harry Kane still in it, right? So it was like, it wasn't a team that was like 14th in the league.
Can you believe that was 2.5 years ago, by the way?
That's
a lifetime ago.
Me and my fiance were watching Gordon Ramsay Kitchen Nightmares last night, and we looked at Gordon Ramsay on the screen and we went, he looks, you know, he does look older, so this must be like quite recent. And then it's brought up in a show that was recorded in 2014. And it took me like a minute to clock that 2014 is over 10 years ago, which absolutely terrifies me.
It's the fact that 2014 World Cup, we've just finished our GCSEs. That for the people that are older that listen, me and Dan were 16 then. It's now 11 years on. It's 27. we're 27 years of age. I might just end it. I'm going to join the 27 club. I can't do this.
I saw on X you were sharing some Brazil World Cup nostalgia. Mm. And the scary thing to me is, like, we're not too far away from, like, 2017 nostalgia. And I'm like, we can't have 2017 on nostalgia. When are we going to start having 2022 nostalgia? And I'm like, this is not...
There's going to be no nostalgia from 2022. Like, I think that's just like, that is just... Do you remember you know when your student loans, they ask you to stop paying those back after COVID? Mm. Yeah, that was 2022, wasn't it? Yeah, that's all I'll be thinking about when I'm living in a box under a bridge. It's like, it's just that it's like, I don't even know what to think. I'm just so depressed thinking about that. You've just ruined my Wednesday. What are you doing, man?
I watch Gordon Ramsay Nightmares. If you want to watch it, there's a YouTube channel just for them. So that's what I'm going to be doing. But wherever my tangent led me, let's try and tie it back to current Chelsea. Yeah, there's no way I think that Maresca can afford not to, and Chelsea can afford not to win this game. But, you know, you always want to flip it and go, well, if they do win it, the mood will be a lot better. And it could be, as it always is with Spurs, it's, you know, I refer to this in my Substack piece, you know, it's kind of great. It's always great medicine for Chelsea fans beating Spurs, although it happens so frequently. It's not, I don't think there's any Chelsea fan who ever tires of seeing Chelsea beat Spurs. So... yeah, there's going to be tension. I think there is tension because it's also been a long time. It feels like a very long time since that Arsenal game, although it's only been a couple of weeks. We're now into April. There was the extended international break. It feels like quite a bit has happened since then, and there's obviously been a lot of discourse. And it also now is at a stage when these results really start to matter. Like, this is now do or die for the season. Like, this is...
yeah.
We're about to find out whether Chelsea are serious or not. So that adds an extra level of tension to the game. And I just hope that the players and Maresca appreciate the severity of games like this. Like, nowhere close. We didn't do a podcast post Arsenal, but that was an embarrassment. And you know, I think that anything close to that tomorrow night is going to be shambolic.
Well, I mean, with that, do you know what? I agree with you. I think that Chelsea, it's a must-win for obvious reasons with Chelsea. But I thought what we could do, just with the fact that it is now, what, 9 games left in the Premier League now, really? Nine games left Chelsea have to try and get something out of the season. Currently sat in fourth, 1 point ahead of Manchester City, 2 points ahead of Newcastle, have a game in hand. So it's going to be interesting, to say the least. But I thought, if we realistically do this now, right? So I'm just going to quickly share my screen. That's it, guys. We are taking it up technically here at the Chelsea Echo. Hang on. See if we can make this work. Because we are tapped.
Here's a big question. Can you share your screen as a guest on a StreamYard? That's the big question.
I can. I think I can. Has it done it?
Oh, my God. This is live. Oh, we have got, here we go. Oh, wow.
Yeah!
This is
incredible.
This really is amazing.
Right, so I'm going to have to take you off so I can't actually see you at the minute, but I'm going to look at this right. So these are Chelsea's fixtures for the remainder of the Premier League season 24-25, right? Now, I'm just going to look at May, and straight away, I think Chelsea are only going to get 1 point. And I think it's going to be a 0-0 draw with Manchester United. That's all I see here. I don't see us winning that. I don't see us losing it. I see a draw, right? And you'd say maybe United would be on the beach at that point. But irrespective, I'd like to think that they actually want to put a fight because it is Chelsea. Now, that's a big game. So if we go through it, we've got Spurs at 8 o'clock on the 3rd. That's, I think, I'd like to say that's a win. But I'm unsure right now. I think me and Dan are both on the fence, but that's what I'll tell out. Brentford away, they're great at home. So that's a lot. So we're going to lose
can I just say with Brentford, and I was speaking to a Brentford fan the other day, they actually haven't been good at home for a long time. Here's an interesting stat for you. Their last Premier League home win came on the same weekend of Chelsea's last Premier League away win. which was Spurs before Christmas.
Right.
They've actually had a flip where that well, it means two things. Either Brentford are going to win or it's going to be a 0-0 draw.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go best case scenario, okay? So Spurs, Brentford, that's 4 points. Ipswich at home, I mean, that just screams low block and a 0-0 draw or something, doesn't it?
No, Louis, we can't. No, Chelsea have to beat Ipswich.
The fact that you pause then suggests everything I need to know.
I am under no illusion that I don't. Like, I haven't drunk the copium. I haven't drunk the Kool-Aid that makes me think that Chelsea have you know, we're actually amazing, right? But there are certain games in this run that I've looked at. I've done my predictions on all these, right? And I actually think I'm not that negative. I probably will still be accused of being negative because I think Chelsea should get Champions League football, and I also think they'll probably lose at least one game in this run. Which I think is pretty obvious if you look at. Yeah, no, I think there is there's an obvious defeat there based on the current form. And you might actually be surprised to what I say, but I think there is an obvious defeat. I think we'll beat Spurs.
Yeah. I think we'll draw Brentford.
I think Brentford looks like just none of the evidence. You got at this stage of the season. I know last season we kind of disproved this theory because we went on that incredible late run that kind of changed the mood of everything. But usually teams are what they are at this point in the season. Their flaws remain their flaws, their strengths remain their strengths, and they will kind of perform how they have. There are exceptions to that, but you've got to take seriously what Chelsea have been doing for an extended period of time now as part of your analysis for how they're going to end this season. And away from home, they've been terrible. They haven't racked up one Premier League win in this calendar year so far. The last one was against Spurs, so I think a draw. Ipswich, 3 points. Has to be 3 points. Fulham,
yeah,
I think lose. Will be a tie. No, I've got a draw for that. But I think the only way Chelsea win that is an individual moment of brilliance from someone. I think it'll be a really close game. But I've also gone for a 0-0 draw. Everton is your low, it's your classic low block. I think 1-0 win. I think Chelsea will win that game.
Oh, 1-0. Mate, listen, in the wise words of Mahatma Gandhi, never back the early kickoff. Okay, that is
early kickoffs are usually crap, right? But historically, Everton are atrocious at Stamford Bridge. That's something to factor in as well. Everton at Goodison Park is the complete opposite. And then, of course, we get into the final four. I've gone for a draw against Liverpool.
That's 1-1. Isn't that they can win the as it stands mathematically? They win the league that day, don't they? So they win the league at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah, potentially, but of course that could be increased. I kind of hope it will be sped up by Arsenal stumbling at some point before that, because that is the nightmare. So if Liverpool can win the league, I do have more fear for that game. If they've already won the league, then I think Chelsea can get a point. Newcastle, I think, is a loss. I can't see anything other than a Newcastle win. Everything screams about Newcastle at St James's Park with their talent and their approach and their tactical kind of strengths against this team's tactical weakness. I can't see anything other than 3 points for Newcastle. My big fear about that game is it becomes a Champions League playoff. If it becomes a Champions League playoff, effectively, if Chelsea haven't done enough by that point to secure a big advantage and Newcastle have kind of continued the wave of momentum after the League Cup, I think Chelsea are in big trouble. I think we'll beat Man United because, again, they're a bottom half team. You've got to be beating them. I think it's unacceptable if you don't beat them.
Yeah, but we say this, right? But the biggest thing, all these games where Chelsea should be winning, Chelsea have not won these games this season at all. Or it's been a rarity. You should be doing this. And the problem is, Chelsea will not look at this as bottom half team. The problem is, whenever it's comparing against a big team, right? And this is big names on paper of the past 20 years. People will look at that and won't go, it's a team which is doing crap. They'll look at that and go, that's Manchester United. And we've seen this season, Chelsea, the bottoms will fall out. The whole thing, it'll go wrong.
I agree with you. There's something really weird about whenever we play Man United, particularly in recent times. It seems no matter how bad or shambolic they are, we just can't seem to turn up against them. But again, you've got to factor in this is the final game at Stamford Bridge in the Premier League this season. Even if it's not the last, like the penultimate game, I expect Chelsea to get to Rocklaw, so it probably won't be the finale of the season. This is the last time Chelsea fans inside Stamford Bridge will see their team this year, unless they're travelling to the States for the Club World Cup. So it's important that fans are given something to walk away from the season feeling some form of optimism, as they were last May. And again, I think it will be a case where Chelsea are going to have to win this game. Then you get to Forest. I've gone for a draw purely because I think Forest would have secured Champions League football. I don't think Chelsea will be good enough to beat them at their ground. So I think I ended on like 65 points, which I don't even know is enough. In my prediction, I've left Chelsea finish on 65 points. The only kind of comparative analysis you can do is to look at last season's Premier League table and then take it down to fifth, where I think Spurs finished, and then go, is that enough?
Always look at the tables. So what we'll do now, next best thing, Dan, guess what? I'm going to share my screen again. And we're going to share it onto the Premier League. So if I stop this one here like that, bosh, and then do this, and then do that, and then go here, ladies and gentlemen. You can tell me
I love how if you're just listening on the podcast, none of this is entertaining. Like, this is the worst thing if you're just listening on a podcast. Like, you're just hearing two blokes go, whoa, and then absolutely nothing.
Because I said what I was doing. We're bringing it up, right?
Yeah.
Hey, can you bring it up for me, please, Jamie? God, Joe Rogan, man. Can we need to get a Jamie. We need to find a Jamie. I've got an idea of who I'd like to bring in as our Jamie, as our producer. He's a top bloke as well, and he's a good content creator. And he's somebody who I think will add something to the pod because he likes the pub like me and you do. So swings and roundabouts, isn't it? But if you look at this, right? So we've said 65 points, right? So if Chelsea right now, if I do my maths, I've got 1 point, 2 points, 5 points, 6 points, 9 points. I've got Chelsea picking up 12 points, right? So if Chelsea pick up 12 points, that will sit them on, help me with the maths, Dan, 51 points, right? So if you look at this, right, if we go, right?
50 points is not enough.
Hang on, 61 points. 61 points.
Yeah, I've shown 61 points. Yeah, 60, yeah, that would just be over 60, but I'm still not sure that would be enough.
Right, okay, so you look at fifth, 66. If you look at the season before that, 67. You look at the season before that,
69.
I'm sorry. Fuck's sake. 62. That, this is probably, I'd say, aside from Liverpool hitting the 99 points, right? I'd say this is the closest you're going to get to how this, I think, this season looks. That, or I think, no, there was a season where it was really tight. But I feel like if you're going all the way back to 2017, there's no point almost.
No, I think like, that, yeah, I mean, it's, I would suspect that unless we are back to a 1920 type scenario, which was really low, and that was obviously Frank's first season, and obviously you had impacted the, you know, the COVID end to the season as well. I maybe 65 points is enough. You know, the tough thing about this is, right, we're only predicting Chelsea's games, and we're also basing our analysis on what we've seen since mid to late December. If you were judging Chelsea, which is a substantial period of time, based on their performance level since mid to late December to now, I mean, you have to be like really, really positive to argue that Chelsea are going to go on this incredible turn of events and, you know, suddenly spring into action, win all of these games.
I prefer the term delusional.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a way around it at this point, to be honest. I think you're kind of, I mean, you are kind of just lying to yourself, to be honest. Like, if we base it off objective kind of reality, which I think is quite a good way to analyze football, I'm a bit old fashioned like that, and what we've actually seen, then yeah, if Chelsea get anywhere close to 70 points, they've had a really good end to the season. Like they've smashed it. Like they have turned round the form. I can't see that happening. I do agree. I think CFC Daily pointed this out, that actually the first two away games, that this first run of the running, basically April, if you just want to categorize it as that, is crucial. Because what you don't want is a situation where that last, what is it, three or four games, Liverpool, Newcastle, Man United and Forest become must wins and you've got no margin for error. Because that's the doomsday scenario, I think, for Maresca and for Chelsea. What you want is for Chelsea to beat Spurs, beat one of Brentford or Fulham. Great. If you can do both, great. Beat Everton, beat Ipswich. And then you're left maybe in a scenario when you enter May with actually a healthy gap. Because, you know, listen, as I've said before, teams are the way they are. Newcastle, I think, are the biggest threat to Chelsea. Mm-hmm. Purely because you've got to factor in two things here. We don't know what a Newcastle poster trophy win looks like and how that momentum of that City is going to propel that team forward with some objectively really, really good players. And B, they don't have the Aston Villa issue, although I for their fans, it's probably not an issue, but the issue of Champions League football still to contend with. So their eye isn't looking elsewhere. I think that's about it. I think Brighton will slip up. And I think that, you know, Chelsea and City. What do you think about City? I mean, obviously, they've just lost Haaland effectively now for the rest of the season. I mean, that is potentially a game changer. And maybe enough people are. Are you saying that because of what we assume Man City to be rather than what they have been this season?
The thing with Man City, when you look at them in just this situation, I get what you're saying. But the thing is, no matter what, there's enough quality in that team and enough experience to turn it on when they need to. And I think if they lose Haaland, I think the one thing that we've seen with Manchester City over the past 2 years, having a striker like Erling Haaland means they've had to be more direct. However, having said that, we've also seen them without a striker and how dangerous they can be. And I know that maybe the team is in transition, but I do think that Pep, they're going to get Champions League. They are going to finish fourth or they're going to finish fifth. I just can't see it not happening at all. Because they'll find a way to find that result.
They also have a more favourable run of fixtures to Chelsea. They start with Leicester. Wednesday night. Yeah, let's get the screen back up again. That's the problem for Chelsea as well, is that I think if you compare our fixtures to everyone else, I think we have the toughest run in.
Oof. Yeah, we do. I think you've got the only game I'm looking at in City's run in where I don't get nervous, but I start to get a little bit shaky is you got United at Old Trafford, again, they, as much as United are shy, I'm sure they'll turn it on against Man City. They always do. And you've got City playing Bournemouth at the Etihad, second to last game of the season. The rest of it, Leicester, Palace, they've got Palace, which I know that actually that's a little bit of a bogey team for City, to be fair, in the 12:30 as well. So that does look like maybe Palace could get a result there. But Leicester, United, Palace, Everton, Wolves, Southampton, Bournemouth, Fulham. Like, that is ridiculous. That's if you want to run, that's pretty good. And then I think Newcastle's the one which I look at. Forest, I think that they're actually comfortable now. They've got a healthy gap, which I think means that realistically, they will qualify for the Champions League.
You're effectively I mean, I know people will say, yeah, it's two spots, but I think if we assume that City go by form with all of those games, with most of those games, they'll capture a spot. And then really it's down to one spot between Chelsea, Newcastle and Aston Villa, right? But I mean, maybe just a bit of coping from me. I suspect that Aston Villa will be impacted by the FA Cup and the Champions League.
So I think Newcastle actually have quite a difficult run in as well. Brentford at home, Leicester away, United at home, Palace at home, Villa away, Ipswich at home, Brighton away, us at St James's Park, Arsenal away, then Everton at home last day of the season. So in fairness, I mean, it is going to be tough for them as well. But I do think that... I'm not sure, Dan. I'm really not sure. And if we win the Conference League and then qualify, and that's like we quite end up qualifying for the Europa League in sixth or seventh, you know, that's a worry. I think at this point, we're just relying on Aston Villa to win the Champions League. Villa in the Champions League will be all right, mate. Don't worry about it. But I'm just not convinced. I think that's a big problem. However, me and Dan, I'm sure we'll do a full pod just talking about the running. I think that's important that we do that. And we'll have that out for you. Let's get out for you next week. You'll have a double bubble next week. As me and Dan will be doing that. And obviously, you've got the Legia Warsaw game coming up as well with Chelsea. It's going to be a busy, busy couple of months. I'm moving again at the same time. So not only... So I've just I've just bought into this football education franchise, Dan, which is a lot of fun. I'm on a job hunting. I'm moving flat. And we've got the pod. So it's going to be a very, very busy couple of months for Dan and I. Mm. And because Dan's, you know, if you didn't know, guys, he hasn't mentioned it. He's got a fiance, so he's getting married. He never mentions that. So, you know, there is that. But let's get back onto Spurs. And, of course, let us know your thoughts on the run and if you think me and Dan are being overly negative. But we heard from Ricky Sachs from Last Word on Spurs, and he's going to give us the lowdown on what it's like at Tottenham Hotspur right now.
We got another to see if this works. Hopefully it does.
Hey, Louis, crew, Ricky Sachs here from the Last Word on Spurs. Hope you guys are safe and well. Oh, God, what am I doing to my all things Tottenham on a Chelsea channel where I would rather be anywhere else right now than talking Tottenham. I think it's fair to say the last time I actually spoke to you guys, Louis and the crew, that I was expressing my concern over Tottenham under Ange Postecoglou. And you won't be surprised to hear that that concern, that frustration has become even more so to a point where I just don't feel he's the right man to take the club forward. So what else do we need on the eve of me making that statement, the fact that we've got Chelsea away, Stamford Bridge, a venue that I think we won once in the last 32 years at, and also a place where, yeah, it just hasn't ever really generally been a happy hunting ground for Tottenham. So very hard to feel any sense of real positivity going to Chelsea, where I think the one thing we can agree on as a fan base is that we both feel a certain disdain towards our current ownership. Tottenham's obviously been the last 20, 25 years. Chelsea been the last 2 or 3 years. And I think it's fair to say that it's a time at the football club where, quite simply, there's a massive, massive unification across the board on what they feel about Daniel Levy and co. Also about the future of Ange Postecoglou, who admits now that, from his perspective, he's lost a large amount of support in the Spurs fan base. So it will be intriguing to see what kind of Tottenham we're going to see against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge on Thursday. I mean, everyone will know now that for Tottenham, it is simply the Europa League or bust. That is pretty much now what Tottenham's season does come down to. I think it's fair to say that when we're in a summary of Tottenham's season so far in terms of the Premier League, we've had 15 defeats overall in the Prem, 19 across the whole season. When you include all comps, it just hasn't been anywhere near the level of what you would expect from a Tottenham team on any given season. But this one especially has been absolutely damning. You just can't get away from that. So, yeah, we go to Chelsea probably in a real, real negative spiral at the moment, to quote a former Spurs manager and a former Chelsea manager in AVB, a negative spiral. And one that obviously for Tottenham, the only way it can be salvaged the season is to win the Europa League, which I personally can't see Ange doing. His record is so, so poor across the really year and a half, 18 months, that if you take out those first 10 wins at the start of his reign, I mean, I think we've just about scraped more wins than we have losses, which is quite simply remarkable, really, for a manager of Tottenham Hotspur Football Club. So, yeah, I mean, it's very hard to see a case or to make a case for Ange to keep his job really at the end of the season. And that's regardless whether Tottenham win the Europa League or not. So I look at Chelsea right now, and they're also in the midst of another rebuild under a project which is being at the top, being heralded by obviously Todd Boehly, but manager-wise in Maresco, I know isn't the most adored Chelsea manager, I think it's fair to say. But I mean, you know, as I came in a year or so ago, when you had Pochettino there, there was a massive split, so he was the right man to take the club forward. And I know you had the 4 or 5 wins at the end of the season last season that maybe felt he should have been given more of a go. Obviously, he walked away in the summer. And Maresca, for I know many feel his football is boring, has got Chelsea currently sitting in fourth. They could, obviously, should win that Europa Conference League. And the reality is with Tottenham right now, you know, we are a million miles away from where we want to be. So it's going to be an interesting game, I think it's fair to say. But, you know, it's a Tottenham side that really, as I've said, it's never been a happy hunting ground, Stamford Bridge, for Tottenham. And I can't really see it being any different, if I'm going to be honest with you, when it comes to that trip to Chelsea. You know, our record there, our current form, the players, with all due respect, I'm not sure how much they are playing for Ange Postecoglou. So it will be interesting what Tottenham do and how they line up for the game. But I can't think anything else than a Chelsea win, because that is what Chelsea do against Tottenham. It's, as you know, for you guys, almost customary that you beat Tottenham and collect 3 points, whether it's home or away. So I will say it's a Chelsea win. And I think for Tottenham, we've just got to get to the end of the season, evaluate and decide what we want to be as a football club. And no doubt go through yet another cycle where we're looking at the next manager. So you can tell by my reaction, guys, and me trying not to yawn, just how grating this is being a Tottenham fan. So I guess we'll see what is to come. I want to say massive thanks to Lou, as always, for having me on. I would, in normal circumstances, say best of luck for the rest of the season, but it is Chelsea. So I wish everybody safe and well, and we'll see where the two clubs are when next meet again. And I can say that when we next meet again, because Tottenham will be a Premier League club, just because there's not three worse teams than Tottenham this season. On any other season, that might well be different. So massive thank you as always. Take care. And I'm sure I'll catch you guys on the next one.
Oh, my God. I feel sorry. you have to feel some sympathy.
You say you feel sorry, but for the audio listeners, because if you watch it, you'll assume Dan and me in the corner. Me just kind of watching and listening. Dan smirking the whole way through. It's just going.
I don't even hold that much contempt for Spurs. Like, I know I'm supposed to, we talked about this before, right? That you're more, Spurs are like your most hated team. It's the fixture you look out for most. I'm more like Liverpool, right? Like, that's Liverpool and Arsenal were above Spurs for me as a Chelsea fan, like in terms of hatred and disdain and kind of, but that obviously it's more that, like, there's, because you're just so used to beating Spurs that it kind of, you know, the fear level of the game is kind of not as high. But I find it interesting.
It's just the way you're like, don't give a shit, mate. Fuck you.
Earlier in the pod, we talked about, like, this is a dangerous game, like, for Chelsea. It really is. Like, in my lifetime, I watched Chelsea lose to Spurs at home, and they did it under a coach that was a title winning manager in Antonio Conte. So it's not impossible. But I don't know before we move on to the Chelsea team, like, I find it weird with Ange Postecoglou, because he had a really good start, but I I can't get away from just how naive it feels like his tactical approach is. And there are some similarities between him and Maresca in terms of maybe two coaches just kind of look a bit out of their depth. And unfortunately, Maresca is kind of trending a little bit like Ange in the sense that you have a really good start, but then the longer it goes on, the worse things get. And maybe your approach, just there isn't much substance to it. And it seems like that's been the case now with Ange for a while. I know there is context where they've had a ton of injury problems, but I don't think he's made the best of that situation from a coaching point of view.
I agree. I think the problem with Ange Postecoglou is that he very much is a coach who seems to, you know, everyone's on the wine and they go, it's just the way he played, mate. You know, these are my methods, you've got to deal with it. I actually saw there's a really fun clip from a comedian that did the rounds on Twitter a few months ago where it was Ange Postecoglou, but it was a MasterChef. And he was basically just making like a sponge cake every single time because he was even though the task was to do something completely different. So sponge cake, I should make a chicken pie, Ange. Well, these are my methods, and if you don't like it, you can go away. So, okay, well, you know, I do think he has made it more difficult for himself as well, which is something which I don't think enough people have considered, and he has considered himself. However, he has managed a club with pedigree. He has managed a club which are world-renowned, and I'll probably say I have a bigger fan base. Not a bigger fan. Well, more reputable is the wrong word. Basically, in Celtic, you've got a club which is a European giant, right? It is. Even though it's in the Scottish League, it's well known, and it's a club with a lot of history and a lot of respect, right? And the issue he has is he's almost treating Spurs like he's still at Celtic. You know, he talks about where he's gone and where he's managed. He's basically managed the best team in every single league he's gone to. He's now come to the Premier League with Tottenham. Tottenham aren't the best team at all. The way they run the club, I think, financially, is definitely something which leaves an issue and leaves a lot to be desired. You know, they talk about how they do spend a lot of money, and they maybe, you know, buy in areas they need to, but realistically, I think it's a lot of bang average players, not a lot of talent for the money that they spend. And I don't even think they spend that much in the grand scheme of things. Whereas I think what you've got with Chelsea is you've got Tweedledee and Tweedledum in the sporting director roles, spend too much money on toddlers, players with no experience, and applying that pressure onto Maresca. But I do agree that I think where I feel Maresca maybe has more rope is because he is a inexperienced manager. Ange Postecoglou has been around the block for a while now. I grant it's maybe not at the top level, but he's been around a while. And the fact that he's just so adamant that he wants to play his way. It's like, it's the fact that we were sitting here, a year ago. And we were talking about this anyway at the beginning of the season when we last played Spurs. You watch that game where they had nine men, right? And everyone going, oh, look how brave they are. Oh, they're so brave playing that way. Any logical person with a football brain watches that and goes, you've got nine players on the pitch. You sit defensively and you break because that was the way you beat Chelsea. That was proven method. Only a few weeks, I think it was like only a couple of weeks after that, or a week before, we just lost to Middlesbrough, who sat low and hit us on the counter. It's really simple, right? But he chose, no, this is our plan of football, this is it, we're going to do it this way, and that's that, right? And I appreciate, right, when you look at some situations like that, you've got to go, okay, well, yeah, I understand and appreciate those are your methods, and you're trying to bed something in, right? But you also need to have game management. Where I said Maresca is the excuse of being a younger manager, this is where we do see the similarities between Maresca and Postecoglou, because both are really stubborn. Both seeing results not go the way when they could make a difference and try something a bit different. I'm hoping that now that we potentially have Nicholas Jackson back for this game, which we should do apparently, Noni Madueke was in training, and as much as I'm not a big fan of him, he's someone who I think offers something different on that right-hand side compared to what we have currently. You know, I'd like to think that we can get something out of this because we can now play to our strengths again. And Maresca's only been playing the way he's been playing just to try and grind something out over the past few weeks because he hasn't had the options. If Chelsea continue in the vein that they have done over the past 2-3 months, forget it. forget Champions League football. And to be honest, if he comes against Real Betis or Fiorentina in Poland, I don't think we win that either.
I have a fear in the Conference League of a situation where we go 1-0 down in that final. I am fearful of what happens if we go 1-0 down and a team decides to just what you would do against. If I'm tactically any coach, can I just say that I find it really irritating, the excuse I've seen in recent weeks that people have come up with, that teams try and stop us from scoring. Like, what are we supposed to do? Like, kind of approach that it's some kind of criminal offence against Maresca's Chelsea that when the 19th place team of the league come to your stadium and try and stop you from scoring and sit deep, that somehow it's their fault. And what were you supposed to do? That is a concern. But I think the difference with this game is that we know all the evidence in front of us is that Postecoglou is not going to do that. And that's why I kind of think that Chelsea have an opportunity to maybe revive some of that enthusiasm or kind of energy that was there before Christmas. So whether that is enough to kind of reawaken something that then transfers itself onto upcoming games, I'm not entirely sure, because Spurs, like Southampton, are quite unique in the sense that, like, they are so tactically disorganized and shoot themselves in the foot, especially Spurs. I'm not even saying this in hindsight. When we were 2-0 down to them early on, I still, back in December, and I know this is a very different Chelsea, but I was still confident we could get back in the game, because I just knew Spurs are going to give you opportunity. Spurs are not, they can't comprehend game state. It's quite clear. Like, there's the way they perform in, like, the first 5 minutes, where maybe you decide, hey, we're going to press our opposition back in the first 5 minutes, but then we're going to sit deep, like most football teams do, especially at home. There's none of that. So with Madueke, with Jackson, with Neto, you know, and if Palmer finds, and, you know, Enzo's been creating a lot of opportunities, just people haven't been finishing them. So it's not, you know, I can see a world where Chelsea win this game, and in the end, quite comfortably, because I just think Spurs have been horrendous.
Yeah, I agree. I see. Also, guys, apologies for I just realised my audio the whole way through this post coming out my headphones and hasn't been coming out the mic. So now I actually sound a bit clearer, which is, I know, that's really poor from me. I'm shocked. I'm angry. I'm disappointed. And, you know, I'm hoping that after saying that someone was really stubborn and refused to change and didn't understand things, that I've proven to Enzo Maresca here that sometimes if you do change things, it can become better. See, audio, headphones, comparison to Chelsea. Synergy, mate. That's what that is. Bring it together. So, you know.
Vis-a-vis, okay.
But yeah, I mean, look, let's quickly rattle through the Chelsea 11 that hopefully will beat Tottenham Hotspur. And by the way, this is the Chelsea Echo 11. This is not, right, what Enzo Maresca is going to pick, right? Because me and Dan have too much logic. And I think the first thing, I'm going to like this straight off the bat because there's one talking point already. And it's not going to be the goalkeeper, funnily enough, because as me and Dan will always say, the goalkeeper for Chelsea Football Club in this game should be Marcus Bettinelli. Do we agree with that, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's for his Instagram. You know, Marcus Bettinelli. I would actually back Bettinelli, I have to say. I'd be well up for a bit of Bettinelli in this game.
I mean, it's the fact that, you know, Chelsea Football Club was so desperate to try and sell Jordi Petrovic in the summer. He's going to come back now because the PR spin is he's going to come back and compete. And he's been better than our goalkeepers this entire season.
Who could have seen this coming? Who could have seen? Like, literally no one could have. It's not like anyone last summer talked about this potential eventuality. Like,
you and I definitely didn't sit. Didn't sit down and go, this is a terrible idea. No. Hey, what do we know? Hey, Ben Roberts knows everything. So, you know, we'll leave it with him. And obviously, you know, he must have the sporting director's, like, nudes or something. I don't even know. So Marcus Bettinelli in goal. Left back is Sparky, Marco Correa. Two centre halves. I'm going Levi Colwill and I'm going Wesley Fofana.
Yes, no,
but
happy.
Trev does have a goal against Spurs. He did score in this game last year. But no, I do think that Trev, I think, understands this game. He understands the importance of this game. And I want players on the pitch who understand the importance and severity of it. However, I think this is like the first... Well, it's not really the first opportunity because he could have done it against Arsenal, but this is the first serious chance or kind of opportunity to play Fofana and Colwill together, which is a partnership that looked good. So I'd go for that too. I'm much of a fan of Trev, but I would maybe play that too as the back two because you've got a chance to do it.
Yeah. Do you know what also that means? It means you can play your best right back at right back. I'm putting Reece James at right back.
You dinosaur, you lunatic.
I love the way Thomas Tuchel just went, he's a right back. It's like, he's a right back. I see him in midfield doing this. And Thomas Tuchel just gone, no, he's a right back. Like, he struggles there. Play him at right back. It's almost like it's logical. But, you know, we are so stupid. We don't understand football when stupid things happen. We question it. But it is what it is. Reece James at right back. Midfield three. Kiernan Drewsby. No. We're going for Moises Caicedo, Enzo Fernandez, Cole Palmer. No arguments there? Happy with that?
Yeah. I mean, there's literally no one else. Like, Lavia is out again. Have you read? Please tell me you've seen the report that Lavia has broken down again. There's literally no one else. So yeah, this is it now, folks. This is the midfield three, or at least Caicedo and Enzo are basically in the midfield now for the rest of the season. That's it. That's your midfield. So you just got to pray that neither Caicedo gets himself suspended or Enzo breaks down.
I mean, Caicedo is going to get suspended. You can see it. I think this might be the game where it happens, which I mean, isn't the worst thing in the world, because I wouldn't mind him missing Brentford. It's not the worst case scenario, but it's not the best case scenario. But yeah, that's midfield three. Front three, I'd go Noni Madueke, Nicholas Jackson, and I'd put Pedro Neto on the left-hand side. That was me.
I agree. I agree with that front three.
There you go. See? So that is your Echo 11. So we'll go through the Chelsea Echo 11.
I don't understand why it's so funny, but here we go.
Marcus Bettinelli in goal. Yeah. Kukureya, Levi Colwill, Wesley Fofana, Reece James, your back four. Midfield three, Moises Caicedo, Enzo Fernandez, Cole Palmer in the number 10. And your front three, Noni Madueke on the right, Pedro Neto on the left, and Nicholas Jackson up front. But that has been the Chelsea Echo podcast. That has been your preview of Chelsea versus Tottenham, the 8 o'clock kickoff on Thursday. A bit of housekeeping. The score is actually unable to do the show. So we're trying to see if somebody can find some cover. Failing that, what we will do, and we'll let you know on X as soon as we find out. So make sure you follow us over there. We will be doing... It won't be straight after the game because we won't be able to have someone to cover it, but potentially we'll be doing a show later that evening, just for an hour, just having a little chat about the game. And hopefully we can get you guys involved with that. But that is just a little heads up, just to let you know, because the score is busy with family stuff and more important things than Chelsea versus Tottenham, which I didn't know existed. I'm not angry with the score. Are you quite disappointed with him, Dan? Because I'm quite disappointed with him.
Yeah, just disappointment. You should take a long, hard think about it.
Exactly. Take a long, hard look at yourself, all right? You're letting us all down. You're letting the team down. It's shocking. Can't believe it. I'm dismayed, right? But at the end of the day, it is what it is. But this has been the Chelsea Echo. If you have enjoyed this podcast, please make sure you give us a 5-star review on any audio platform that you listen to it on. If you're watching it on the old YouTube channel, on telly, you can give us a little sub. Hit the notification bell, all that good stuff. And make sure you follow myself and you follow Dan. Dan is, of course, doing a Substack and lots of writing and lots of amazing stuff. I'm being an idiot on the internet because that's what I'm good at, apparently. That's been everything you need to know from us. Give us a follow. Give the Chelsea Echo a follow. 5-star review. Subscribe. Dan, any other housekeeping you want to mention?
#backBettinelli.
#backBettinelli. All right, guys. We'll see you later.